for all sales activities from the Midwest to the West Coast. Mike's undergraduate degrees included studies in business and finance, and he holds a master's degree in physics. Today, you will share information with us about improving transmitter efficiency. And if you look at your programs, you'll notice this is a different speaker from Comark, and Mike promises to do a fantastic job for us. So please welcome Mike Rosa.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here. We've heard a couple of presentations already about the FCC repacking process, and both of them have kind of touched on my subject of the subject of this presentation, and that is how these changes will affect your transmitter, what the new technologies are that are available to you, and what the best fit for these technologies might be for your station. So we'll begin with some of the key factors for chief engineers, engineering managers, people who make purchase decisions on this kind of equipment. Of tantamount importance to them is signal quality. If we've learned anything over the past 15 years, it's that signal quality is just as important about reception in the home as is power. So you can put an unlimited power signal inside somebody's home, but if you don't have an SNR sufficient for his receiver to pick it up, it's irrelevant. So maintaining maximum signal quality is very important. Something that's new to this list is cost of operation or efficiency. Now, I was around for the initial digital rollout, and I can tell you that none of my customers really cared or asked me about what the transmitter efficiencies were that they were buying. They were more worried about getting things on quickly, fulfilling their CPs, and maintaining their analog operations. Well, today I can tell you it's the first question out of many of our buyers' mouths. What is the efficiency of this equipment? And then, of course, things that have always been important include reliability, maintenance, and how quickly will my device become obsolete. So the presentation, we're going to look at a few things here. One is how solid-state equipment in our business has evolved, what some of the ingredients are inside these new transmitters that define signal quality. We'll have a series of slides that actually compares the cost of operation of these new transmitter technologies across different power levels. We'll be able to see what their power costs are over a course of a year and compare one technology to the other at various TPOs. And then we'll have a few slides on the differences between reliability and maintenance in these new technologies and what the obsolescence is that you might expect. So this is a brief history of where we've been. Any of you who purchased digital transmitters at the initial rollout were probably 32 and 38 LDMOS type equipment. If you've probably replaced your exciters at least once, maybe twice since the initial rollout, so we'll assume that you guys have some kind of adaptive pre-correction. And assuming that's the case, you're probably getting somewhere between 15 and 17% efficiency out of that transmitter. Now, typically, you didn't buy a solid-state transmitter much above 10 or 15 kilowatts. So once you got above that, with higher ERPs, most customers had IoT-style transmitters. So this starts roughly 1999. 6 or 7 years ago, 50-volt LDMOS devices became available, and with the new exciter technologies, we're touting efficiencies almost double of what we were getting out of our 32-volt devices. We were approaching 29 and 30%, which was a significant improvement. Just roughly 6 years later, we've come out with a new technology called Doherty, and a number of the manufacturers in this industry are starting to adapt it. Now, I will say this. I've done as good a job as I can to make this a vendor-agnostic presentation. Anything I talk about here applies to our equipment as well as any of the vendors that you probably work with. So Doherty is the latest scheme that's come out. And we've seen a variety of marketing pieces that show efficiencies that approach 40%. And then, of course, with respect to you high-power operators, IoTs are typically the technology of choice, and we have systems now that approach 60% efficiency. Okay, we'll take a quick look at the things that invade our signal and cause noise. Things start right at the transmitter site, of course, intermodulation and cross-modulation products. Noise or interferences between the RF system, the antenna, and the transmission line. We have propagational influences, and then the biggest culprit is the home, of course. You're going through shrubs, trees, multi-dwelling units, and people who have antennas pointed in the exact opposite direction. So we have to overcome all these types of anomalies. Excuse me. We have a quantitative definition for acceptable signal quality, and we all agree that at the very lowest limit is 27 dB. Anybody who has exchanged their exciter or replaced their exciter over the last 3 or 4 years, regardless of the technology that you're using today, you should be enjoying SNRs well in excess of 30 dB. Solid-state IoT devices, regardless, should be getting SNRs 30, 31, 32, and maybe even in the mid-30s for some solid-state operators. So these are some of the things that you want to look for in whatever transmitter manufacturer you deal with. These technologies help create a balance between efficiency and signal to noise. And you're going to see in some future slides exactly how those two things interplay. So generally speaking, in any of these devices, as I improve my efficiency, push my transmitter harder and harder and harder, what goes backwards? Signal to noise, right? So these technologies need to be in your exciter so that you can overcome those anomalies and put the transmitter in those states of operation where you're getting maximum efficiency. You should be looking for digital predistortion, where we, take a sample of the output, feed it back in, and pre-correct the signal. You should be looking for crest factor reduction. This is kind of clipping or clamping, where we take the extreme swings, clip them off so that our transmitters aren't taking wide swings in output power for very little information. And then memory error correction, where we actually model the disturbances inside the amplifier and pre-distort for it in advance. All of these help to improve the efficiency of even existing transmitters. So we can almost double what you have in operation today with these new exciter technologies. And when you couple that with some of the new design techniques, it's a little bit off the screen. We're looking at efficiencies in the order of 38 to 40% once you combine all these new technologies. Okay, so we're going to go through a variety of slides now that actually compare transmitter efficiency across different transmitter output powers. So the best choice of technology is not the same for all users. One size does not fit all. Some of the solid state options that are out there today include the 50 volt device products that have been out for the last 5 or 6 years. These are great for low power applications up to as high as 5 kilowatts. You have the new Doherty modulation schemes, which have been out for maybe a couple of years, and the very first installations just now going in. They seem to be very well suited for higher power solid state applications to powers that maybe as high as 30 or 40 kilowatts. So 10 years ago, when you completely wrote off solid state to meet your 500 kilowatt ERP, it may very well be practical now to install a solid state solution. Drain modulation is another technique where you actually change the drain voltages of an FET as it varies with modulation. That's a bit complex. I haven't seen any suppliers introduce that to the marketplace. It's something you might look for in the future, and you might even see that combined with some existing technologies to even advance what exists today in Doherty. A little bit off, but this says IoT down there, and that still seems to be the most efficient choice for you guys with megawatt ERPs. If you have TPO needs in excess of 40 kilowatts, 40, 50, 60, we even have 75 kilowatt transmitters in operation, you're looking at a pretty good sized solid state product to make that kind of power. Probably not practical. The IoT is still the right solution for that. Question's going to remain, though, as we listen to these other presentations regarding repacking, are these big sticks going to go away? Are we going to reduce ERPs and go to a more distributed transmitter system where megawatts and 700 kilowatt type ERPs become less and less used across the country? Now, you're still going to have the folks in Iowa, the folks in North and South Dakota, in the Midwest with the plains that are still going to require that 2,000-foot tower and a lot of power. But as you go to the extremities of the country, east and west coast, that's probably diminished, and solid-state solutions are going to be available for just about everybody's needs. Just a brief note on Doherty and where it came from. It's not a brand new technology, obviously. It comes out of the 1930s from Bell Labs, one of the greatest think tanks probably in the world. They've come up with all kinds of technologies, including fiber optic communications. They were the guys that came up with this solution. It was just recently adapted to the devices here in our industry. We're just now seeing the first products roll out, and we have a couple of semiconductor manufacturers, both NXP and Freescale, that have optimized chipsets that we can use, or amplifiers that we can use for Doherty applications. This graph talks a little bit about what I said before, how efficiency and signal quality are interrelated. In this graph, the green area here is the sweet spot for Doherty. As we move towards greater and greater efficiencies, we can see we diminish the signal quality. That primarily means that we're pushing the amplifiers harder and harder and harder, so it's creating more anomalies in the transport stream that we have to correct for. So they are inversely proportional. As we increase efficiency, signal quality goes down. This is a similar slide looking at IoT technologies. Conventional IoTs, which is probably still the lion's share of those out in operation in the field today, they hit maximum efficiency at their peak powers as well. They roll off somewhat less dramatically than solid state solutions, but still you only have about a 15% swing from peak power operation down to a third power operation. The new MSDC devices, which is multi-stage depressed collector, they've been out for quite a while. Everybody's probably very familiar with that technology. They roll off much less dramatically from peak power operation to half power operation in regards to efficiency. In fact, you'll see nothing more than a 5 to 7% swing. This graph kind of compares how quickly efficiency changes with respect to peak power. You have a fairly gradual roll-off of MSDC IoTs. This is a constant efficiency amplifier. No more than 5% across peak power and lower powers, whereas a Doherty amplifier tends to roll off very dramatically as you go away from peak power. Now, why do you care about that? You care about that is because if you go out and spend a lot of money on one of these transmitters, and it's designed to help you save power, and you don't have it optimized for your particular point of operation, what you hoped for with respect to efficiency, you may be nowhere near. And you might find that your power bill is not being affected as much as you would have liked. So we're going to go through about four or five slides, and I'll go through. They're all identical, and all we're doing is changing the output power across the top here, where we compare the cost of operation of the various technologies. And what we're going to use as a baseline is 32 and 38 volt LDMOS type of equipment that was rolled out with the initial digital rollout in the early 1990s. So we're kind of using that as our baseline for savings. Here we have 32 volt designs, the newer 50 volt LDMOS devices that many of you may have, Doherty solutions, as well as MSDC. In this blue area, we're obviously in this graph, we're looking at 10 kilowatts of output power. The next two lines identify what the amplifier efficiency is and the transmitter efficiency. Primary difference there, we're including the power consumption of your exciters, your control systems, your cooling systems, that sort of thing. So across this line is the amplifier itself, the final stage amplifier. Here is transmitter system efficiency. And the bottom line is its power consumption. KVA. The green here, we calculate the annual operating cost with respect to power consumption for each of those individual technologies. We use 10 cents a kilowatt hour as the average power rate. That's a pretty good average for the United States. As you get towards the extremities, towards either of the coasts, you might see that rise to 10 and 12 and even 15 cents per kilowatt hour in states like California. But as you get to the Midwest, you might, and maybe even here where you have a lot of co-ops, you might find that power cost is as low as 6 and 7 cents. So You got to be careful. You have to actually look at what numbers affect your business, because the savings may not be as dramatic or may be lots more dramatic, depending on what your power rates are. So that's what this is. This is the cost of a year in power to operate the different technologies. Here we have a quick comparison of the savings from one technology to the next. So in this column, we're comparing all of the savings with respect to 32 volts. So what we're saying is, if I replace my 32-volt piece of equipment, I'm going to save $17,000 with a 50-volt type solution. I'm going to save $17,000 a year in power cost. So that's what this is trying to portray, right? Here we're trying to assume what the capital expenditure or the transmitter prices are or will be in the future. And across the bottom, we show what the five-year savings is of these various technologies as compared to 32-volt designs. So what can you take away from this particular slide? There's absolutely no reason at this power level where choosing either of these solutions is a bad decision. So if you've already done a change, if you've already spent some capital money on a new 50-volt type device and it's only 4 or 5 years old, why change it? It's still broadband, right? One of the nice things about that original technology was you could easily put spares in stock and share it among many transmitter sites for those of you who belong to big groups. Everything is broadband, hot swappable, easily exchangeable. So at these kind of power levels, this technology is very suitable and not a bad purchase decision. And what we're finding is the actual cost of those products is not that dramatically different either. So there's no real compelling reason at 10 kilowatts to change out existing equipment unless you're going to save some significant money in power. Obviously, at this power level, MSDC makes no sense. 20 kilowatts is an interesting power to look at, because in the early rollout, to get this kind of power, it really wasn't suitable to buy a solid-state solution whatsoever. So a number of customers went out and bought single HP IoT systems. We sold a product called the Compact, and basically it was an IoT in one side and an exciter and driver in the other side, and it made 20 to 25 kilowatts, ideal for this kind of TPO. So any of you that still have that kind of product in operation, this is an ideal time to get an IoT out of service and put in a new solid-state solution. Say, you can see that the transmitter cost, the Doherty solution is still less than the IoT transmitter cost. Our operating expenses are roughly the same. There's no significant savings in power to stay with an IoT. Perfect case to replace an older and aging IoT system with the Doherty solution. 50 volts, I don't know that there's a lot of 20 kilowatt transmitters out there using the 50 volt designs. We sold very few at that power level for sure, so I doubt there's a lot of it existing in the field today. But you can see that the power savings from the 50-volt design over to the Doherty solution is about $30,000 a year. Multiply that by 5 years, it's probably not going to pay for itself to buy a new Doherty transmitter. 30 kilowatts becomes one of these sweet spots where it's very difficult to choose between solid-state technology and IoT-type technology. There's significant savings with Doherty solutions versus the standard 50 volts. So you can save $50,000 a year in annual expense, even if you have a relatively new 50-volt solution, which is probably not the case at 30 kilowatts, but if you did, it would make a lot of sense to replace it at this point. Even if we're only 5 or 6 years old, you're going to have $200,000 in savings over the course of 4 years, which pays for a significant part of that transmitter. There's still a very compelling argument to stay with a solid-state solution at this power level as opposed to an IoT. 10 years ago, it was a no-brainer. If you needed a 30-kilowatt transmitter power, you went with an IoT solution, period, end. There wasn't even a consideration to go to solid-state. No longer the case. We're reaching that point where we think the solid-state transmitter is going to cost a little bit more money. Not a lot more. It's still just less than $100,000. The savings right here of an MSDC IoT compared to a Doherty is insignificant. So at 30 kilowatts, this slide would indicate that a Doherty type product is a very good decision, very good purchase decision. Excuse me. 40 kilowatts, things start to tilt towards the IoT type solution favorite for sure. Equipment costs are starting to go up more than $100,000 or approaching the $100,000 point, more to buy a solid state transmitter than an IoT. We're still in a region where savings isn't that significant, and one of the things you might want to keep in mind here, what kind of upgradeability are you going to require in the future, if any? 40 kilowatts, you're going to be looking at a pretty good sized solid state transmitter, most likely three different bays, right? So you have a lot of amplifier drawers, relatively good expense in transmitter price, but at the same time, not a big reason. And if you're in a market that can afford the extra money, you're still at a point where buying a solid state solution is not a bad idea. Now, you know, general managers could be sold on it. You're going to reduce maintenance time. You know, IoTs do take more care, maintenance, and that sort of thing. So, and then of course you have the soft failure capability. And an IoT. So if you use a dual tube IoT to make 40 kilowatts and you lose half your tube, you're down at half power, right? Well, if you have failures, something like this is probably going to have something like 20 to 25 different PA drawers. So you have a very soft failure. So these numbers would indicate we're starting to tilt in an MSDC favor with respect to expenses, but it's still appropriate to use a solid-state solution at this kind of power level. Transmitter is going to be big, and you're still trying to dissipate a lot of heat out of a small space. 60 kilowatts, not much of a decision to be made. I don't even know if anybody's even considering a solid-state transmitter, building a solid-state transmitter that big. You're probably looking at something that's at least five or six bays wide. IoT, you're starting to get a significant savings in operating expense, $50,000 a year. That's a couple hundred thousand dollars a year over a couple hundred thousand dollars over about 4 years. And you're starting to see that these price differences between the transmitter is increasing dramatically. For those of you who may have gone out and gotten some quotes recently, I would suggest you take them, analyze them with great care. We're in a very unique business situation, economics 101, supply and demand. There's a great deal of supply and zero demand. It's not even low demand right now, it's zero demand. So you're seeing prices coming from transmitter manufacturers in these very heated competitive situations that give business that's going to go away when this rollout happens. You know, we're going to be scrambling to make transmitters fast enough if we can survive that long. You know, if things don't happen, start to take too long, and the prices are going to go up. So I've tried to be somewhat realistic with what we would expect the transmitter prices to be during that period of time. Today, you could buy that for, 60 kilowatts is a bad example, but here at 40, you could probably expect to buy that transmitter for $700,000. It's not going to be the case in a couple of years. Okay, we're going to start to wrap up here a little bit, and we're going to touch on reliability and maintenance issues across these various technologies. From a reliability perspective, regardless of what you buy, you're going to have failures. You know that. You have equipment in the field and you maintain it. Our experience is with respect to solid-state equipment, we have about one PA failure per rack of equipment per year. So you're looking at a couple of failures a year. MSDC IoTs have an expected life of about 10 years, so somewhere inside 5 to 10 years, you're going to be looking at replacing an IoT. And then you have, of course, normal wear and tear items that go bad on you, fans, bearings, pumps, that sort of stuff. That goes across all technologies. Maintenance. Not much air cooling anymore. We're getting into power. We're getting into sufficient amounts of power in small spaces that you can't effectively cool it with air. The new solid state designs absolutely require liquid cooling. You know, we're putting thousands of watts in a few hundred square inches of space, and there's no way you can dissipate that heat quickly enough with air cooling methods. So all of these new devices are liquid cooled. So with respect to maintenance, regardless of whether you're using an IoT solution or a solid state solution, you're looking at maintaining a cooling system of some kind. And then there's something that we really don't know right now, and that's what the long-term stability of these new Doherty designs are. As I said before, signal quality and efficiency are interrelated. That means we have tweaked them such that I'm getting maximum efficiency out of my transmitter, and I'm correcting for errors. How stable is that? So how often do I need to go back in and recheck that? Does that stabilize there all by itself? What happens when it heats up and ages? You know, so we really don't know what the stability of these new designs are to keep them in peak operating performance so that I'm getting that 40% efficiency. How much time do I need to spend with that transmitter? We don't know. Then, of course, with IoT transmitters, those guys who have them, you already know they have a variety of special needs and skill sets. You need to have staff who's comfortable with high voltage. You have to keep high voltage compartments clean. You have to check your safety interlocks. Those sorts of things have to be done on a regular basis. And then as the tube ages, you need to manage your filament bias. So all equipment is going to require some kind of maintenance. We have a simple chart here that compares some of the things that we think are important across these, that we think are important for equipment, period, and then kind of compare them across these different technologies. Across the top is the general efficiency of the devices as well as the transmitter system. With respect to broadband operation, the fixed drain solutions, the 50-volt fixed drain solutions are still probably the very best. You can buy spares, you can put them on the shelf, you can share them among stations, you don't have to tune them, they're hot swappable, very, very low maintenance in broadband across the entire UHF spectrum. That's not the case with Doherty. That doesn't mean that we're not selling we're selling amplifiers that allow you to change the channel, but you got to go in there and fool with things. You just can't pull it out. You just can't go to your exciter, change some dip switches, and start operating at the same efficiency on some different channel. So, yes, we're coming out with amplifiers that you can change channels on, but that does not make them broadband. So the interchangeability that you have with this technology will not exist here, as far as we can tell. MSDC or any of the IoTs, of course, are broadband the same way that fixed drain is. So that means if you want to channel change these devices for repacking, you don't have to throw them away. You can channel change your existing equipment and keep it in operation. Reliability. From a reliability perspective, if you look at it from soft failure perspective, no reason to believe that both of these are very good solutions, right? So you have a soft failure. You're losing small percentages of power as you have failures. I would have put that as poor. We put this a double asterisk, meaning that this assumes that you have dual HPAs, so that if you have a failure, you're at least at half power. If you had a, sorry about that, I'm pointing the laser at you. My apologies. Now, if you have a single HPA, of course, and you have a failure, off you go, right? You're off the air. You need a backup transmitter to stay on the air. So with respect to reliability, the solid-state solutions certainly have an edge. Redundancy, what we mean by active redundancy is kind of what I talked about before, how well it backs up itself. IoT is more costly for sure, but both of the solid-state technologies are a little bit more robust in that regard. I skipped over complexity, I'm sorry. This is a very simple, non-complex solution. You don't need experienced engineers in all cases to make certain changes. This is not the case of an MSDC IoT transmitter. You need a skilled technician out there working on that. We don't know what this is going to require. So that still remains to be seen. We're just now delivering the very first Doherty solutions right now. And then performance at reduced power. As we saw in earlier charts, as you roll from peak power to one-third power, we're only varying 5% in efficiency. This is relatively good as well. You don't dramatically change efficiencies in the 50-volt designs as you move away from peak power, but it's very poor in Doherty. If I'm not pressing that amplifier to its maximums, I'm not getting that maximum efficiency. It rolls off very quickly. Okay, some obsolescence, and this is kind of the world according to GARP here. Everybody's going to have a different opinion, I think. With respect to solid-state devices, we kind of have our own idea of how things are changing right now. You know, in the late 90s, 1999, 2000, we were looking at 32-volt LDMOS devices, 32 and 38-volt LDMOS devices, giving us, you know, 15 to 17% efficiencies. 6 years later, we're looking at 50-volt devices. 6 years later, we're looking at Doherty devices. So the obsolescence rate of this appears to be so, and I won't say that 50 volts is obsolete, but it's certainly not current technology either, right? So we're seeing six-year evolutions in these technologies, and I think you can assume you could expect even more that same kind of change going forward. It's very likely that you're going to see combinations of Doherty modulations combined with drain modulation to get efficiencies even higher. Is that 6 years down the road? You know, we don't know. Same conversation with respect to IoT solutions, with respect to tube-type solutions, period. Believe it or not, we still service klystrons. Our company works in both the scientific and medical industrial industries where they use this high-power equipment for a variety of reasons. Linear accelerators, they use them for security reasons of scanning equipment coming in and out of big shipping areas for bombs and that sort of stuff. So there's still a lot of use for klystrons and high-power IoTs in industries outside the TV broadcast area. You know, we're talking age limits in decades here as opposed to years, right? So we're still supporting, installing, and selling klystron-type products. So they have not become obsolete anywhere near as quickly as has solid-state devices or solid-state solutions. So that's kind of it for my presentation. The only thing I really didn't cover, and I'm not sure it was it's something that might have been important, and that is, how do these technologies affect you if you need to do upgrades? You know, so if you install something now with this new repack, and over a period of time we change to a different modulation scheme, right? That's going to bring the average power of your transmitter down. Maybe you're going to be allowed to keep your existing ERPs. Well, how do you go from a 15-kilowatt transmitter to a 20-kilowatt transmitter to do that? Really didn't discuss how that might be affected, how the solid-state designs might be affected by that. Other than that, I think we've covered everything. Any questions? I've either bored them to tears or I was completely clear on what I was going to.
Mike, have you run that similar cost analysis, not only with electricity, but on the cost of replacing modules versus replacing an IoT over time?
Yes, we can. I don't know that I could do that here on my feet, but that's something we could certainly run on a case-by-case for customers. In fact, we do that on a regular basis. You saw that chart that I used, those matrices. We have that embedded in an Excel program that when a customer calls and says, hey, look, I want to compare what it's going to cost me to operate this transmitter over the course of X number of years. Can you give me a comparison between these two technologies? And we actually look at conventional IoT technology, MSDC technology, and solid state, and then assume tube replacements, in some cases thyrotron replacements, power costs, all the different things that go into the cost of operation. So not something I'd be very good at doing here on my feet, but certainly could do for a customer on a case-by-case basis. Yeah.
One other quick question. Yes. If I understand it correctly, or I'm assuming here, maybe you can clarify for me, the Doherty devices, are those the 50-volt devices also? Or are they another device somewhere between the 38 and the 50 volt device?
No, they're the same. They're the same devices put in a. And I'm not an engineer, so I'm probably the wrong guy to walk you through the intimacies of this. But they are the same devices put into a configuration where we run one in a Class C operation, one in a Class AB, and we split our signals into two parts. Our big peaks running through our Class C operation, so it's a more efficient amplifier, and the average signal is going through the Class AB and then rephase them at the output. Thank you very much.